In that checking, in that zakresu zasadniczych słyszeń, endota stanu wejrzony, będzie nie w stanie zasadniczych zakresu, will very receptor indicate that in my observation, we have observed patient patterns. And in this document, there is nothing that is necessary because it is, for me, it is the first point where a patient is being admitted, and which I think, Honorable Chair, that information is very, very important that we get to be seen of that, because it is in that that we are then to be able to pick up what is, because we are reading. Let me say, I realize that it happened, that a patient may have come to you with any abrasions or whatever, but if then there was that information, it would then assist us in this. But secondly, and the Honorable Reverend has put up this, it is said Tamara, the mother is saying Tamara was admitted, I would say, in a side ward, because a ward that has got two beds, in my understanding, is a side ward. But someone here in the document says, the ward is a special ward, nurses are able to see a patient at a distance. But I don't think the mother would just say that a huge ward, which I don't know how many valid wards is that ward, can then be able to say, in fact, she was in ward that had two beds. So can we say it as such that when we are looking here and listening to the parents of the lady Tamara, we're able to understand, because in my understanding, for me, that will really make us understand. The last one is that the doctor that examines the patient, it is not indicated in his summary that he orders this treatment or that treatment for wounds. You are only told that wounds will change the wounds of
the patient. I'm sure that's the same question you have. One, do you have any point that speaks to the conditions of the patient when was that, admitted? Two, what is your understanding for the allegations that Tamara was in the two beds, the one, what do you call that kind of the one compared to the normal one? And the last one is the one that affects your question.
Okay, I think two questions, referring back to the memorandum and my opening comments. And just to reiterate that Mr. Lange's or Tamara's discovery of injuries on Tamara's upper body at Khayelitsha Hospital is of deep concern to us. It is deeply regrettable that no one noticed these injuries until Mr. Zani drew our attention to the problem. We had, as indicated earlier, we will be handing over Honorable Chairperson a copy of all the folders to the content advisor for further review and perusal. We've commented to that. In terms of the ward design is relatively the general ward, and we have one bedded ward cubicles, two bedded cubicles, six bedded cubicles. It has been confirmed, and I can confirm that Tamara is essentially admitted to a two-bedded war cubicle in the 30-bedded general war. Last but not least is, can you just answer the rephrasing of the last question?
In the document, one of the documents, one that says, the doctor was given business in summer, there is, I think it's in bullet two, which is talking about the state of the wound,
okay.
That they were okay. And the question from the Honorable Chair was that, why is there is no indication of what there was ordered by the doctor in terms of the treatment, in terms of the wound, was my understanding that treatment is to be ordered by still kept. But here were only those that really came.
Thanks to your question. That information is available in the folders that we will essentially hand over to the content advisor.
When are we going to receive that information?
It is immediately available through our university
folders. Because I was going to ask that to the assistant secretary be able to quickly get the copies and then provide members. It will make them not to ask questions that are already clarified in the file. Is it possible for you to quickly get this line and make copies for members so that moving forward we are able to know what is, you know, other information that you may find yourselves asking things that have already been sent by them. So for us to save time, we need to have that information. But if you think you need to add this one of the wings and the sign sent by the doctor.
And the same person makes four different admissions with comprehensive folder notes and description source, and the information will be in the folder.
We'll see that kind of information. Any other question, another member? Thank you, one of them.
Thank you, Chair. I've got just some clarity here. A patient is admitted to hospital, and nothing's time for what is found on her. Some few days later, somebody examined the patient, they find scars, not wounds, scars and contusions. I think a scar is a result of a wound. But if you don't have any wounds and you have no injury, then the next time somebody comes around, they find you for scars. Ooh, that means that you have wounds that have healed. That makes sense to me here, but maybe they should explain. They'll explain why on the 14th, Tamara was admitted to the hospital with nothing, but then some few days later, when she was examined, before she was discharged, before she left the hospital, she was found to have scars. And somehow again, nobody has written the cause of that, and somebody writes, the wounds were healing very well. It looks like there is nobody who said, I examined the patient and I found nothing wrong. Another one said, I examined the patient, I found no wounds but scars, and so on. So then we can trace as to within four to 5 days, somebody simply developed scars. And, then, of course, there were confusions and aggressions here, which are mentioned. The important thing is that we've seen the pictures, and then pictures never lie. And the pictures that we saw are not in congruence with what is written here. They tell a different story to what is written here. Can somebody reconcile these two so that we can maybe get nearer to actually what happened? And of course, there was some prosecutor or some investigator from the police who came or whatever and said he doesn't really think that there's anything about these things. You know? Nobody was had malicious intention to harm the patient, so there is no need to prosecute anybody. Maybe the wounds that the prosecutor saw were already healed and so on. If somebody can give me a little scenario so that I can understand the chronology of what happened and why a patient all of a sudden developed scars, not wounds, and the wounds are healed and there is no record or whatsoever of the wounds and somebody mentioned there were abrasions, linear abrasions and contusions across the body. Okay. Were these the ones that metamorphosed into scars or what? So some, and either there is a case of gross negligence somewhere, or the records somehow or another were not put in a proper file so that this thing could be
I think for you, Chairperson, Honorable Member of Parliament, I refer back to bullet point 9, that as a department in hospital management, for us it is deeply regrettable that no one noticed these injuries until this was only essentially drew our attention to the problem. We did commission a full investigation. We reflected further as a department in hospital management after the last shooting. But we did not find the cause of these injuries. But we do accept that these injuries may well have been inflicted on Samara while she was a patient at Kareta Hospital. And therefore, as a hospital management, we essentially installed and reinforced the need for meticulous record keeping. And essentially, I was in a position to comment on the prosecutor's findings process. But as a hospital management and as my head of department will reconfirm, should an investigation by SAPS or police services be reopened, we will cooperate fully with the investigations. And I think in terms of the chronology of events, we, through the chairperson, the copies of the admission documents and inpatient notes, which will provide further clarity, is in process of being copied and will be available to the members of the committee.
Another follow-up question.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apology for arriving with our slot. I went to the first venue. My question is on the issue of what the gentleman has just said. I think the head of department, right? CEO. According to my understanding, when you are admitted in a health institution, each and every 30, if not an hour or two, one is examined by the health worker, being a nurse or a doctor. And you are saying to us, no,
maybe you need to check whether this guy is a doctor.
Yeah.
We understand that is what they are doing at the same hospital.
That is what is happening in a health institution.
Is it like that doctor?
And then examine or check the patient whether after 2 hours or 3 hours, but there is a checking. And a patient got checked.
Hang on, how much time I go see your patient in that hospital? Because it must be clarified by the so that we are able to follow. Every hospital.
In terms of from a policy perspective, I'm a head of department will clarify.
No. You might be there, but you have been given a particular mandate to execute at the institution you are heading. How long does it take you to see your patient in a hospital? Is it a week, 3 days, 14 days? But whatever we want that somebody cannot remember the group.
Is just for clarification, it depends on the medical condition of the client, which and the observations are essentially agreed to between the senior clinical team in collaboration with the nursing staff that are on the floor in a general ward. Again, it's subject to the medical condition. But in a stable client, 4 to 6 are the routine observations. But again, it's subject to the clinician, the senior clinician recommendation, or in terms of the clinical management of that client.
Another question.
Thank you, Chair. I was once admitted in a hospital, and in a hospital in the Republic of South Africa, I think the policy and the procedures of the department applies to all the hospitals. I know that I was admitted in a public hospital market. I was checked each and every after 3 hours or more than that. So my question is, It might be a 4 hour check or 3 hour check or a day check. But on that routine check-up, no one within the department, no one within the hospital rather, noticed that Ms. Tamara has got bruises or wounds. Up until those bruises or wounds were healed to scars. It's amazing. I think for me it was a negligence of some sort. After the mother told the nurse or the doctor on duty that, hey, gentlemen or lady, look, my child has been assaulted or my child has been wounded by somebody. It's then that the department was aware. Now I want to check with the head of the department that within the two reports, I don't know who wrote this report because I was late. I'm referring again to the issue that honorable member highlighted, that it says on bullet number 3, I feel it extremely unlikely that an intentional assault took place. What do you end up saying that was intentional assault? Why do you regret that? That is not similar to this case, complaint lodged by any other patient during or before the same time period. Are you saying because this is the only report that was presented to you, that's why you took it light, you never did anything about it? And again, on another report here, on a memorandum to the honorable chairperson, written by Dr. Beth Engelbrecht, bulletin number 9, it says, it is deeply regrettable that no one noticed this injury until Ms. Susani drew our attention to the problem. Are you saying up until ordinary members of the community complain about the matter in your department, it is then that you will take a note of that? Are you not, you don't have a hierarchy of reporting system to that effect? I will pause for now, Chair, thank you.
Not forgetting that the memo directed to myself will still be sent accordingly by the head of the department. So for now, we're still dealing with the presentations from the Irish Hospital. Thank you, Madam Assembly.
Honorable Chair, thank you, Madam. I think my question will be a follow-up from what Honorable Nkwele has asked in regard to your turning point or the training plan. Last time you told us that you had a training plan to attend on your patients. Now, I want to know from on 1814, from 12-14. What measures are you using when you change the patient? Do you change the patient from there not writing a report or write a report in the regard of what they do as a man and what they found from the patient? Then on the 14th to the 15th, there were nurses that were in duty. Can we be clarified who those nurses, did they write any report in regard of the training plan measurement? Thank you.
Okay, honorable chairperson, through you, honorable member of parliament, we do as a hospital have a turning action monitoring document. If you review the patient's folders, it's one of the documents included in the document set. Secondly, in terms of the second question linked to the staff on duty, from a nursing perspective, when a client is essentially turned, it's a team of nurses that essentially facilitate the process, and then it is subsequently documented in terms of their observations in the turning action plan document and the clinical folder. But those documents are available in the client's medical folders.
Thank you.
metro.com, which reads as I am informed that prostitutes, blah, 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 prostitutes do find evidence, then the sentence that the public prosecutor then instructed the hospital to have Ms. Zani to be taken to any office. In front of me, I have got a document by the public, from the office of the public prosecutor. Nonetheless, it's something that I'm missing. It's nothing that indicates here or reflects on any instruction by the public prosecutor. I just want to clarify from there. Where is there another document from the public prosecutor that is then going to show us that, in fact, they were instructed. The hospital was instructed to have Ms. Kuzani find the hospice for Tamar, of which it is then said the mother of the late declined that offer, wanted to make her own daughter. But the crux of the question is that are we going to be given another document response from the Office of the Public Prosecutor that is then reflective of any instructions from that office of what must be done? I have my
I can say very much precisely to the issues raised by the National Prosecution Office. It will be on our own as we are in the examination, looking at the concept of the letter, we can migrate just because there must be at the letter do not explain for itself. Honorable Member. Thank you.
Just a comment that we did facilitate the and assistance with the placement, and we also arrange community-based services, home-based care with Ms. Tandek and team to assist Ms. Suzanne with the care of Amara.
Honourable Member, thank you all of the time and number of protocols you offer. But I just want to check one thing with the job here at the head of the hospital. That as a person who is trying to convince this house that no one amongst the staff members realized the staff that were in the patients, is he really himself hesitate believing on that? Is he really himself convincing us believing that really no one in the hospital realized or noticed that the patient had such stuff?
The question is, unless you want us to believe, did you believe that whoever protected you, they did not notice that there were no which even before it becomes stuff?
I think, Chairperson, it is incumbent on any professional nurse or clinician to essentially document their clinical observations and findings. And regrettably, as indicated in the memorandum, having reviewed the folder and the clinical notes, these are not documented. And therefore, it is regrettable that no one noticed these injuries until Ms. Kuzani drew our attention to these, because it was not documented.
Honourable Member for
in addition, documented summary of documents, the way it was in the grass assessment of the photos, the pictures of the man, there was a family that was made with regards to the pictures and the photos. But eventually the report can be just briefed by what was the outcome of the assessment.
Honourable Chairperson, the investigation that was essentially commissioned by my office was essentially reviewed and done by Dr. Bernard from Leon. The department has further reflected on these. But the comment I would essentially make is that we did not find the cause of injuries, so I'd expect that these injuries may have been inflicted on Tamara while she was a patient at ALS Hospital. My head of department will comment further when she provides her input on that particular matter.
Honorable Wada.
Thank you, Chairman. I should have preferred the issue with Honorable Dr. Shonta Zilek. I don't understand why the department didn't give us a clear picture of checking, because Tamara was told us that when she noticed what happened to Tamara, next that they tell the condition and asking about the condition. And in this documentary front of me, with Dr. Mawisa, he's saying the hip broke and the articulated. The picture of that and the photo and teachers, which I don't know if J83 or what, it's a reflection frame. Ne? My question is, did the doctor attach to the patient, did make a body to tender that? Because in some instances, if your patient is put to in a hospital for a specific diagnosis, there's a doctor attached to that. In some instances, attached to that because of the diagnosis of that particular patient. My question is, did his doctor concern make a report around this after Mrs. Soran has called one of them asking what had happened to Tamara? Thank you.
Todd.
Chairperson, in terms of the inspiring honourable member of Parliament, we essentially arranged follow-up reviews of Tamara as reflected in the summary of the events. And the findings and observations of the various commissions that examined Tamara subsequently will be in the inpatient orders and not.
And then I'll go to this other report. That's why the chronology really intrigues me and what is happening here. Tamara was admitted at JD Emergency Center presenting with swollen feet, body weakness, and loss of appetite. She was transferred to GSH for a CT scan and returned the next day. Mrs. Fuzani discovered discovery of injuries to Tamara's upper body at ADH the next day in February 2014 is of deep concern to us at executive level as well as to the management of the hospital. The discovery of this injury is deep concern to us as management. This was discovered by Tamara's mother, the hospital. Alright, so it was very concerning to the hospital at the executive level. Alright. It is deeply regrettable that no one noticed these injuries until Mrs. Fuzani drew our attention to the problem. Okay. This is a patient who's in the hospital, admitted, apparently with no underwater signs of injuries or something like that. And then the mother noticed this, and it was of deep concern. Then there was some, Dr. Kara commissioned a full investigation in an attempt to identify the cause of injury. Very commendable. Sadly, we did not find this cause, the cause of this injury. I think even in a post-mortem, he do find some or can say the cause is most likely this. Okay. So, alright, because of this. But except that the injuries may well have been inflicted on Tamara while she was a patient at Kaiser Hospital. That is a concession by the executives of the hospital that actually there is a maybe a prima facie case that these injuries may have been inflicted. They couldn't have been inflicted anywhere else because when she came to hospital, she did not have them. And when she was in hospital, she had them. So she didn't sneak out and get harmed somewhere and come back in the hospital. That's why it is amazing to say maybe she may have gotten them in hospital. That's fine. Now let's get to this other report here. This other report says that
which one?
The summary of events.
Now, because it has one that says it's the one touch of
that one. Yeah, the one that I just read is the memorandum which was signed by Dr. Engelbrecht.
Which is the one that I said
that
she's still going to send it.
Yeah.
Let's not confuse when we are doing the clarity. The clarity seeking should be about the PDO.
Yeah.
Because once you start my clarity seeking before the presentation, there will be no answer because we are still, you know, waiting to.
Okay, sorry. I don't got that because I just understand they don't make sense, both of them. The chronology, then I asked about the chronology at the beginning, that doesn't make sense to me. And I wanted clarity on that. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. It still confuses more. Now,
maybe this confusion can be helped if we allow also Dr. to present and that we then, you know, be able to say, if
he doesn't speak one another, thank you. You are comfortable with that. What are you going to do?
Chair, I think our documents are incomplete. We expect the staff to give us that document, summary of events. We don't have it, so I'm requesting that we.
I'm sure that would be private. Honorable Kili, do you have anything before we allow Dr.
Asamble? Thank you very much. It's a question, I don't know. I was going to suggest that to, before we give the department, is it impossible to get witness that mentioned by Mama Susan? And also, I don't know whether Dr. Mo is interested. And also give us, and then we get to the department.
I think we'll check on that, but for now, let's allow the hospital and the department to present and then see whether we still need additional information from the other women. Because it might be possible that in the presentation, as you were during the interrogation of the presentation of Dr. Kwara, you were correctly acknowledged that you are seeing an acknowledgement statement that somewhere, somehow, things were not in order. So I'm not necessarily saying that I'm saying that just, you know, area that you need to be sure that they're saying this we don't know, this we don't know.
Thank you very much.
Can we then request the head of the Department of Health in the Western Province to present to us the former leader, Memorandum of Council? Welcome, Dr.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, why would you do is going to read through the memorandum completely and then without further question I would like to respond to those. So the memorandum is about the petition brought by Mr. Dennis Fuzani regarding the original treatment of her daughter, the late Tamara Fuzani. So in my constitution the department, I wish to place before the committee the following summary of the facts as they are known to me in preparation for the resumption of the hearing into Ms. Fuzani's petition. We acknowledge Ms. Fuzani's complaints against two facilities under the control of the Western Department of Health as set up in her petition. As a department, we commit ourselves in good faith to addressing these concerns openly and to her satisfaction as well as the satisfaction of the committee. From childhood, Tamara Fuzani was treated for hydatid disease, which is a parasitic disease, at Red Cross War Memorial Hospital, Goodspeed and Carriage Hospitals. She was admitted to Goodspeed Hospital on seven occasions since 2011 and stayed in total 84 days in the hospital. She attended 213 outpatient services, the neurosurgery, social work, radiology, pharmacy, dermatology and physiotherapy clinics. Tamara was admitted 4 times since 2013 at Kylie Chedistic Hospital, totaling 15 days. She often visits the emergency center at Khayelitsha. Her treating neurosurgeon since Red Cross Days has been Professor Alan Taylor, who is present here today. And Mr. Zani has his personal telephone number to call in cases of need. The department recognized the burden of care in the mother and intermediate care. The advantage of the many as well as home-based care was arranged for tomorrow in 2013. And she was very much indicated as a woman and a mother. I could sympathize with Ms. Rosani with the difficulty of having a child that's so dependent on her all the time and taking her to the hospital and back. I could just imagine and understand why she felt so aggrieved by the decision she has to go to. So from the time of her diagnosis, the 2 months phase of treatment were shunts, stitches, placed to drain, itches moved away from around her brain. These have a tendency to become blocked from time to time and needed to be replaced by operation. Without these shunts, the increased pressure on Tamara's brain would be fatal. The drug albendazole specifically designed strong to combat the parasite causing the disease cannot cure the disease but does slow the progress thereof. It became necessary for Tamara to take the drug without interruption as the disease progressed whenever she stopped taking it. She was monitored with regular blood tests to detect any possible toxic side effects of the drug. No liver disease or blood counts was noted. Deterioration in Tamara's clinical condition was always related to her data disease progression and not the complications of albendazole therapy. Her condition was incurable, and the impact on her functioning was progressive over time. In July 2011, Tamara was admitted to Goedestreet Hospital with a 3-day history of feeling unwell. The CT scan showed that her VD shunt inserted at Red Cross in 1996 for the pressure in her brain was blocked. She was operated on by Dr. Malak, a senior registrar in the hospital at the time. We revised the shunt without complication on the day of admission. A follow-up CT scan was done 2 days after the surgery to confirm that the shunt was working and correctly placed. She was better after the surgery and was well enough for discharge 4 days later. It is routine for senior registrars to perform surgery such as shunt revision. The CT scan and her clinical improvement confirmed that the procedure was successful. In August 2011, Tamara was again admitted to Goedestreet Hospital with her eyes unable to look up and difficulty walking. A new CT scan showed the VP shunt was working but that the hydatic cyst was blocking or enlarging the 34 ventricles of the brain, putting pressure on the nerves. Tamara was operated on by Dr. Sinonga and Dr. Rattermeyer, who were the two most experienced endoscopic surgeons in the department. Endoscopic means going by a visible tube. They used a flexible scope to unblock the 34th ventricles, although Tamara could look up and was able to walk with assistance. As her walking was not yet stable at the time of discharge, she was transferred to coronary care while an application to the Wellington Rehabilitation Center was being considered. The other specialized surgery was only available at Goedestreet at the time. There was no complication related to the surgery. Following Tamara's admission at Goedestreet in August 2011, it became necessary to discharge her home at certain notice that is usually the case. The mother was not timely informed about the discharge, and attempts to contact her from the hospital had failed. Goedestreet Hospital accepted that the discharge procedure was not patient-centered, but caused by concentrated pressure on neurosurgery and apologized for the manner in which it was done. But Suzanne had to take Tamara home without her own clothing or transport. And as a manager made of this department, it was highly regrettable and unacceptable at the time. After the incident, Professor Friedman, who is the head of the department, a teaching social worker, and Dr. Jacobs, who is one of the senior managers in the hospital, met with Mrs. Suzanne and the decision was made to readmit her daughter. the Jew of Ugly Germany apologized for the incident, how it was handled, and the most unfortunate impact on Jesus' design and time. Four additional beds had subsequently been allocated towards the shed to reduce water pressures. The system is now in place for health and medical transport to be booked for patients requiring transport. A policy is in place for the street hospital to refer patients for assistance for possible wheelchair activation if needed. Core values of the department regarding care and responsiveness, and more recently the concept of patient-centeredness, has been promoted amongst the staff. Tamara was in an admitted to Kailicha Emergency Center, and I believe she was on the bench of Honourable Members R. Austin. She was presented with swollen feet, body weakness and loss of appetite. She transferred to Goodsby for the CT scan and returned the next day. The Suzanne's discovery of injuries on Tamara's upper body at Kailicha on the 13th of February, the next day, is of deep concern to us at executive level as well as to the management of the hospital. It is deeply regrettable that no one noticed these injuries on Thomas Rosalie outtakes in the column. The CEO of the Carver commissioned a full investigation in an attempt to identify the cause of injury. Sadly, we did not find the cause of these injuries quite at check, but the injury may well have been inflicted on Tamara while she was imprisoned at Carthage Hospital. The need for particulars record keeping, even of students' rewards, has been installed upon Scott. Should the investigation conducted by such be reopened, my department will cooperate fully with the investigators. My department has complied promptly with requests for documentation from private attorneys in the past and commits itself to full cooperation with these proceedings going forward. The health department takes complaints and acts on the incident seriously. A complaints reporting and management system, as well as an adverse incident management system, are systematically implemented and strengthened across all facilities. The provincial cabinet has also passed legislation for the establishment of an independent complaints committee for health, which will be implemented for the end of this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any direct speaking question, honourable members?
What I'm finding a big problem from my friend is that, and I don't want to believe that things have changed, the Department of Health in the Western Cape, through the head of the government and the CEO, kept on saying we are sure. Maybe yes, they are supposed to be sure. Why is our skin the health risk in the cold sun, in the cold air? If incidents of this nature, no record keeping, the process of discharging patient is not in line with the human life, A, there's an injection from the community. And there's nothing here that says the health of the unit at that particular time, or any person who was given the responsibility to discharge a patient, while other asked to write a statement to indicate why that happened. And they will take responsibility. It's more for a fact. At times you do things in health institution or in the world, not because you wanted that issue to fall, I made an example, but you are made. You are made. Because you are made to take responsibility. After the end that you are reported to sort of anything that if you happen to be held to be a man. But in this experience, it's not to disturb me, except for regretting, we regret or being sorry. I don't know who is to take responsibility. So I'm just making that observation, which I think the health department, at least
observations and the findings you are arriving at show therefore the determination of the committee. But out of it, I think the question is, why are you not being able to inform us about the steps taken by yourself and the institution over those who were, you know, resigning, they failed to do what they were supposed to do? I think that's where the question comes.
That's a very valid question that's being asked. And I don't know if it's correct, we should put those measures in. We've accountability is a very strong value in our department. But I can also put the cells that brief us on the steps that we've taken against staff. We hold staff accountable in terms of what they've and what they write reports. So in the final finished file you'll find all those reports, but I think the cell actually our put you can ask for with those before anything specific to those steps taken. But I can assure the members that we on every step, every aspect that can go wrong, we get reports. I didn't want to delay the report, but I think the members comment, so we should have put that in. But the time would like to have just comment on the question of the member.
Thank you very much. So just to set some background, you know, we see between 60,000 and 70,000 patients as inpatients who get admitted to our hospital. We see about 500,000 outpatients at our hospital. In our emergency centers, we see between 50,000 and 60,000 patients every year. And there are times when things go wrong. There are times when patients complain. And the process that we follow when we receive a complaint is we take every complaint very seriously. We get statements from every staff member that is involved related to the complaint, and then the manager of the area has to then compile a report. And when I say we take it seriously, we also follow labor processes where it is indicated. We give staff warning letters. We dismiss staff if necessary. We take matters further as inquests if necessary. But it all depends on the complaint and the responses that we receive. As you may be aware, in medical legal cases, you are very dependent on what is written in the folder, and that is our objective source of evidence. So really that helps to answer the process that we follow, and a similar process would have been followed in this case. This is in 2011. The issue related to the admission to Grootsie Hospital was in July 2011, which is different from the issue related to Kalicha Hospital, which was in 2014. So the case in 2011, Ms. Kizane was admitted because she had a blocked shunt, and she was operated on, and Ms. Kizane was upset about the way that we had conducted the discharge process, and that was the complaint that we received. Our manager and our social worker and the head of the unit met with Ms. Kizane. We apologized because we said, yes, it wasn't patient-centered. The nurse didn't act in the correct way, you know, and we understand that the nurse was under pressure because, like I said, we see many patients in my emergency unit, and sometimes we have 20 or 30 patients waiting for a bed, but we don't have a single bed in the hospital. When that happens, we have to try to discharge any stable patients, and in this instance, we needed beds in the ward. And Tamara was in a stable condition, so the decision was made to discharge her. We couldn't get hold of her mom, but we kept Tamara in hospital.
That's our anger. Maybe I should put it straight. Let's try to respond to the question. Because if we don't respond to the question, this visit can take us 3 years. But if a question has been posed, try your best to respond to the question that it comes. Because the question here on the table is why are we not informed of steps taken
after all these things have been in all level of attention that we had at the hospital. To narrate the broader picture, we understand with you that the hospital has to see so many, you know, number of people that have to come. But this particular thing, it has been taken to you, and you were fully aware that Parliament is going to need information on it. Can you succinctly tell us why have you not presented to Parliament the reasons for failure to take, you know, necessary steps if you were supposed to? We understand and appreciate your apology, but your apology without doing what you are supposed to do, that's money that it does not help us.
Chairperson, I can only say that an investigation was conducted. The information provided to you is a summary of what happened. But we can't provide you with all the statements. We haven't provided you with all the statements before.
Why are you not?
Well, we would be able, but that is part of our internal investigation process.
Can I tell you? This committee is part of Parliament in terms of the Constitution. Has got the mandate to call any other person, either public or private, to come and account or answer questions that Parliament wanted them to be clarified for. We don't have any area that we can say you cannot be provided with information. If it comes to a proof, we know that there will be information that can be sent to us in camera without public. But you cannot come and say, we are unable to give you other information, it's for internal. Internal of what? Because the hospital has been established in terms of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, which also equally say you are accountable to us, as members of Parliament. Why are you not telling us what happened?
Okay, I am responding to the question. I'm saying that we conducted an internal investigation and the synopsis of which is recorded in the memorandum. I did not say that we cannot provide. You misunderstood me. I said we conducted an internal investigation, and as part of the internal investigation we received statements and we make a decision based on that.
We want to know the decision. What is the decision? That's what we are here for.
Well, the decision was that the nurse did not act in a patient-centered way. So we would then have spoken to the nurse about her behavior and about her interaction with the patient and with the patient's family, in this case with Mrs. Kivani. Subsequent to that, the manager, the social worker, and the head of the department met with Mrs. Tijani. They apologized for what had transpired.
Honorable
Mukwege, Honorable Chairperson, I don't know why the Department of Health is trying to hide some information for us. I really don't understand. It's like they want to put the blame to Khayelitsha Hospital, whereas the Khayelitsha Hospital is the responsibility of the Department of Health of Western Cape. I know I can apologize to you as a chair for not doing my duty assigned. And as a chair, you have the responsibility and the obligation to make it a point that you exercise your authority for me to be able to do my work. If it comes to being punished, so be it. But now, the somebody that we are having with us here, or the memorandum that we are having with us here, it clearly shows the department apologizing. And according to me, Chair, Ms. Tamara was a well-known patient of Clothestir and Khayelitsha. They know her, situation, they know her weakness and illness. But what they did to her is a concern. They knew that she suffered from whatever disease that is mentioned here. That means proper cure. But in turn, they did the opposite of that. So I'm requesting, Chair, that the CEO and the doctors, I don't know the position you'll pardon with me, that we be given a report that clearly stipulates steps that were taken and measurable measures that were taken for those staff that were on duty on the day the event happened. Thank you.
Of course, you can hear it. It's not a statement, but we can hear an indication of what we have been appreciated.
Thank you very much. My question from the HMT wants to know, when did you receive it? When did you receive this information?
Complaint.
This case from Kyle Richard. Because, Mr. Person, I think they are hiding something here. And all this report I can assure
you. Maybe stop when you are saying, when have you received this complaint? And then we will take it from there.
Honourable Chairperson, I became aware of the case where the petition was raised, a petition reached my office. I was able to contact it on the 1st of April of this financial year, of 2016. I did not at the time where these incidents happened, but I had full responsibility in this department, even if I was not in this department at the time, for what has happened.
The investigation that the investigator you are talking about was a doctor or was a private investigator who has got the qualification of being investigative cases.
Dr. Fulian, who was asked to do the investigation, is a doctor in the public service, but at another hospital. He's very good, well qualified, and a lot of experience, and he was the best person to objectively come and look and answer the question, what was the cause of the injuries? That was the only question he had to answer. One of the other ladies previously asked why didn't he prescribe treatment? His task was not to prescribe treatment. He had to only do the investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair President. If it's like that, we have this time of petition, and why did you stop members who think that they were involved, like nurses, doctors, to come to this hearing? Why did you cover them, not to answer to Parliament, and you answer on their behalf? Why?
Chairperson, I received an invitation to attend this meeting, and by agreement with yourself and Mr. TJ, the correspondence to the department, it would be through my office. I became aware of the request to have clinical staff attending, and due to the fact that I take responsibility, we as management take responsibility, we hold clinical staff accountable, but we take responsibility for what has happened. And to take clinical staff out of the services, the documents was made to let legal represent. I also considered that with my MSC. So the only clinician is here with us today is Professor Taylor, who is an expert in neurosurgery and could explain that disease if there were any questions. But the view was that we as managers, we hold the staff accountable. We've already investigated, as Dr. Patel, there was corrective counseling done, but we can get you all the reports. So we as management will then face the committee in terms of what this is
like. No, Sir, true. It didn't invite, in my head, people who were involved. Well, the people who think that they knew what happened to Tamara. For them, the nurses were there on that night, and the nurses of the mental charge or flight charge in the morning of that night, we don't even get their report. We just come there and cover them. Where are they? Can they come there and testify why they did Tamara?
Spoke to each and every one of those nurses to understand is coming. All of us is on that. That's the reason why we have an investigation to assist us to be able to look up.
My order is also said that you see, as Parliament, we summon nurses that were implicated for the reason, for the best reason that we needed to be told, to be informed of exactly what, exactly the scenario on what it happened. It doesn't say we were undermining the authority of the hospital. But to me, here, simply the department, the head of the department, the hospital itself, undermines the authority of Parliament. Because we summoned the people to worry because we wanted to get clear information and evidence so that we are assisted. We also want to assist the department because that department belongs to this Parliament. Now, if we cannot be given necessary information that we need, how are we going to account to society at large? Now, Chair, I would really propose that the CEO, the CEO or head of the department tries to at least give us more detailed information that rather than covering up for those nurses, because this is very important. Why do we want those nurses? We want those nurses because we understand that on the 13th night up to the 18th hours where the chief, last day the chief of the from the night shift to the following day, something happened. And that something that happened, it can't be indicated in our the records that we gave us. That is why we want those people. And you know who are those people. I am not with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think what honorable members are saying here, they are saying after you have received the memorandum, I mean the petition from Mr. Irani, and the summon from Parliament to party and answer that memorandum, it was a real nice deal that you are saying you did not bring along the nurses and whoever was, you know, Mr. The late Fuzan here because you have dealt with them and this is what you have done to them. You haven't done anything, you don't know who did that, you did not want them to answer questions for themselves in front of one another. I'm sure that's where the problem is. Because if you yourself would have done what we are doing now, there was no need for them to be here. You haven't done that, you don't want us to do that. What is the problem?
Before they respond to that question, in the last time before the meeting that they had
on the
13th,
yes,
they were issuing a manager in that meeting, a couple of them. Now the question from my side, why is it here? I'm not here. So I was asked when they respond, they also respond to that.
Do you hear what you are saying?
I fully hear what is being said. I think what is important from my side, I'm not sure if the communication is in that, is that we hold these nurses accountable. They are reporting to us and we listen to the issues and simple steps were taken. We can give that information clearer. In terms of exactly what time the issues happened, we've got no record of that.
If those people that were here, the question was going to say, who admitted this particular person? It's me. When you admit the person, what condition was this person on? Then tells us what condition was. If you say the person was here, then what time have you entered to the next person? Who is the next person? What are the, until you say that, not the culprit, it's just the culprit. But you are now, in a law, who then said you are defeating the ends of justice. You don't want justice to be done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The fact that people who were supposed to be helping us to arrive at, you know, who caused this thing and advise you through your department to deal decisively with the culprit. You are now blocking us to arrive at a particular, you know, determination.
Make sure that the committee has the necessary information. So what I actually can do
Chairman, because it's all of those information to the committee to be able to consider that. The point I was making, so sorry, is that when Dr. Farouk did the investigation, the injuries were already a few days old. So we don't know exactly where the injuries, because the mother was very clear, she didn't have any injuries on her. So the only person that we can get in the statement, we can get fresh day statements from that we got, is the nurse manager at the time. The doctor is not with us anymore, but we have the nurse manager, we could get those statements new and old, also old statements, we can make that statement.
Where are the nurses felt that way in the middle of the patient?
They thought they could contribute, but they were not asked to contribute at the time, and we didn't agree that we were even memorandum that covers all the information, but it's very clear that further information is required, and we are responsible for that.
Question. I don't know whether the SOP is aware that he's talking to Parliament. And she cannot mislead Parliament. If she can mislead Parliament, it's a serious case. And the question is, I was asking that question to him, because both nurses were found. And she said, she talked to the nurses. And when they asked who are the nurses, he said he was going back to the check on the records. She doesn't have the records of the nurses who were there on that night, on the 12th, and on the 13th. Who are the discharged on the 13th? Who are the two nurses who were put on that night? And what is the report of the sister in charge who taking over from the night chief? Those are the things that you need. That's the document that you need. Not covering us with this. We want those nurses to answer. Thank you, sir.
Who are they, the nurses that were supposed to provide evidence about the conditions of Tamara?
I think for the UK, as our attorney has indicated, there's four ships of nursing. So Tamara was readmitted at Khayelitsha Hospital from Groote. So that information, all the ships, all the subliners, including the affidavits and the reports, will be available to Parliament by the head of department.
Tamara doesn't have the folder.
She has.
Those things are not in the folder. Why taking so time to bring this and to read to the Parliament? When you do your investigation, you do report to taking the folder and the report from the folder.
Chairperson,
that is one of the names of the people and
things. Chairperson, just to respond to the Honourable Member of Parliament, we have all ships of staff, nursing, clinical, admin, that are allocated to a ward. So a particular nurse on shift one, once she completes her particular care, etc., then is relieved, change of shift. So what is required, if my understanding is correct, we will provide through the Office of the HOD the full list of names of nursing staff, professional nurse, enrolled nursing assistants, including the doctors who are in charge on that particular, in charge of the work on that particular.
Just to get clarified, your such an investigation.
Yeah.
What have you arrived at in that transaction? Do you have a report that you can produce yet? Is it possible for you now to phone the office that they bring that support with people, question and answer that they provide?
Two issues, Chairperson. As indicated, we're dealing with multiple staff. There were adverse incident reports completed. These will be availed to yourself as the chairperson, for members of parliament. But you will also follow the complete set of staff who are on duty across all four shifts. But to answer your question as well, honourable member of parliament, the folders will also clearly indicate who are the staff that is actually did the observations and managed tomorrow, but what we will provide is a full set of staff who covered the four shifts,
And that information will be provided, including the adverse incident reports, to the office of the HND.
I think that information was supposed to be part of my preparation and presentation for Pastor. So it looks like we may not even finish this, you know, yet, because you left other information for reasons unknown to us. Honorable Member.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. It looks like, according to the report, there is no meticulous, there are no meticulous record keeping in the hospital, according to the report.
Is this correct?
Yeah, this is right. Yeah, no meticulous record keeping.
So it's true, there's no, you know, proper record keeping.
It is not complete, there is record keeping, but it's not complete according to those aspects that we are talking about.
If there is a record keeping, then tell us what happened. What happened to Tamara?
There's no record of what has happened. There's no record of the injury, and that is our shame. We acknowledge that.
So, do you agree that there's no sufficient proper record keeping in the
hospital?
You see, I'll tell you, we've got a GAC report with series of complaints about hospitals that we're talking about. And we don't want to give it because it's not decent, but it gives us a scenario that they are indeed a worse scenario that are living in the hospital that you are looking after them. Are you confirming that indeed there's no proper convincing record keeping in the hospital? Improving after what? Because here's the question. Are you saying there's proper sufficient record keeping? No, doctor. Let's not, you know, elaborate on things that are not important. The issue here is it looks the hospital does not have proper record keeping. Is it yes or no?
We have indicated that we regularly the record keeping was not properly done. Absolutely, so that is what we had admitted.
If you were a reporter, I was going to say you are speaking like a lawyer. You don't speak like a doctor. Because the doctor would say,
point of order,
yes, sir.
Chairperson, you are indeed not acting as if you are in a court of law. We agreed as a select committee that we look for clarity. We are seeking clarity. We didn't stop any of the speakers that already made assumptions and accusations. I'm sitting there, I need information. And you are steering it in a, I don't know, as a chairperson, you are just crisscrossing. As one other member, just crisscrossing. Just jumping in. We need information systematically. And I understand that I need to see, also need to see the nurses' things. But we don't need to get emotional on these things and jump. We are not in a court of law, Jefferson, and I think we agreed on that last time. We are on the first funding mission, Jefferson, if you would allow me to finish. I think you had.
You stood on a point of order. And a point of order is directed to a particular out of order that a member might have. The question here is, are you conceding that there's no sufficient proper record keeping? And once that is not out of, it's out of order, I'm listening to that.
Listen, I said you are out of order. The proceedings are not happening as they should. You're acting as if you are in the court of law. That is what I said. That is my point of order. You are interrogating. You're not looking for information.
There's no point of order. There's no point of order on what you are.
So you remain out of order.
Yes, I rule you. That's no point of order.
According to you, sir, we are on the floor.
Thank you very much for taking me. Now, that one is a question, fine. The second question is that it looks like only outside Medici, that GP Moisha, is the only person who noticed the steps for whatever contusions or wounds or whatever on this patient. Nothing in the hospital record, which are not there anyway. That is not amazing, that because there is nothing recorded that there was this and this and this found in Kamara. And that's the reason why, if there were records, they would be produced, so that on such and such a time, such that this was noticed, or after the murder has reported, immediately something was done about it. The other case, the other doctors, like Dr. Larry, not only recorded checks, which are signs of any wounds. There is no report of any wounds here. Whether it was pressure wounds or inflicted wounds or whatever, we can't determine what is happening here. And simply because there are no records. Patients come, they put in there, they treat them and forget about the records. And then, now, we can't get, unless there are some hidden records or records that we are not supposed to be private, otherwise we are just going to throw.
Let's deal with the clarification question. Let's not be tempted to divide. Honorable member.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just have a quick question before I said that I can agree with the sentiments of Honorable Chairperson. You know, we need to pay judgment jury. At the heart of this case is an aggrieved family who deserve justice and they deserve a sense of closure. And we need to support them in exploring every avenue, including this one, to reach that one. And I think that's really the focus. Gives us some degree of reassurance that there are lessons we'll learn from this. And one of the things that you, in terms of seeking clarity, one of the items that you printed out in support is establishment of an independent complaint committee one of them. And the question is, just to seek clarity, not to be answered determination, but would it be possible for a case like this to have a retrospective view? And then what would be the advantages of the benefits of that over and above what already been done? Thank you.
We as a department welcome the fact that we will be independent and that it's from us as a department that we can give all the management and give a complex view. To make sure that the management gives an independent view or they can publish the same perspective of public independent view. So I'm sure it's impossible to do retrospective assessments. I think that will be absolutely but they're a good candidate to start off with. So the registration is just because and the committee will be appointed within the next few months. The average is going up now. I think to answer the question is that we as a department will also make use of that to refer patients daily. We feel that all the information is going through. So I think that's a benefit to us.
Another follow on.
I want to align myself with the speaker that says must be very careful because the life is lost in the process. And you mustn't undermine the family is affected. If you look chapter 10 in the document in front of me, I raise the question. Summary of events. I raised the question that was not answered according to clearly, which was done by Dr. Mawisa. Dr. Mawisa's point, I like the photo that was taken to the mother. But when you look at this document, the whole document has got a lot of finished the program around this issue. Let me quote a few. In March 2014, Consular Pukutana informed the hospital that an assault case has been opened and there was an investigator needed affidavit to two medical nurses. Where is that spot? Where is this? What was taking place? Because it's clear to me that there are people that already made the affidavit. What is the response from the department around those affidavits? in terms of assisting the family in a healing.
You go to
Jesus as you proceed. Don't forget we are dealing with clarity. The issue of deliberation is being on our own. Get what you want in terms of care about.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the question. My question is really now about the lady who was saying there are internal reports. My question now is, what did the department done in terms of those internal reports that if you come to the committee? Thank you, sir.
My understanding is that we've already indicated to the committee that we will make information available as a question.
When are you going to send to everybody?
I'm not saying they must do it because they didn't do it for the first. And my question is, according to the department, if there's an internal report that anything, what did they do about those reports concerning to make sure to confirm and concern? That's my question. I think it must do it anyway. My own interest is there. Thank you.
Is it clear, Doctor? What have you done with the findings of the
report? Was reported that the school is being concerned. Corrective counseling was done based on the reports that was received. And based on that, there was an internal process to make sure that the nurses comply with the protocols and the procedures that's required. And the follow-up meeting was in done. This was designed to explain to her what the outcome was, and she was, according to our record, satisfied with that. As far as Carlita is concerned, the deputy will give a list of all the nurses who were on duty over that period, and also an indication of what has happened in just the particular incident and the fact that it was not properly recorded. Thank you.
I want to believe that your findings and your success will be considered. They will talk to one another. You can't find this. To look after the person, but you say as well the person, but you judge me as if I can say, I want to be. Honorable member, next to the honorable member.
Thank you. So I think I've got two things that I want to ask the HOD.
As well as you've agreed with us, that the misconduct is there. And that is behaved unethically. Remember, the nurses take an oath, and for an nurse to behave like that, you know, to misbehave, that nurse must be charged with misconduct. And in terms of what you're explaining, to say there was nobody you could have touched because nurses change shift. Will I be quiet to say to you, that's not true. Remember, in each and every ward, you have a nursing manager for that ward, for that shift. And the nursing manager for that shift is accountable for each and everything that is happening in that ward. Because she is the overall manager of all the nurses that are there, irrespective of whether you have three professional nurses, but one of them will be the overall manager. So, in a case like this, where there's a misconduct, there's death, there's insurance, a patient is lost, sought while she was advocating the word. Who must take full responsibility? Isn't it that the nursing manager of the word must take full responsibility? Why was that nursing manager, in a case or in an instance where you can't identify the culprit, why did you touch the patient?
I think that's where the question is.
Very unfortunate.
for there is no relation between the incident on the 13th of February and the fact that the 2014 and the death of the child in March 2015. I think it just needs to be clear, otherwise we collapse into the actually get the wrong impression. The point that the honourable member is making is that the head of the mission is accountable. In the same way, Chairperson, I'm accountable for what happens to this whole department. That's why I'm here today to take that responsibility. We have to indicate.
Can I comment?
Yes.
This is Jefferson. Each and every hospital or health clinic, patients have died. How do you prescribe a treatment or how do you treat a patient when there is no fire? How do you just prescribe a treatment for a patient if you don't know the diagnosis? If you don't have information, how was the patient treated? Can I be correct to say they killed the patient deliberately because the failure was pestered in them? Can I be correct to say that?
I think that part was dealt with before now.
No, I'm saying that logically. You can't say your sister ALT is competent in a way. There is no way in the hospital where you say that it was not information. No. It cannot be correct.
If there has been said to punish us in guilty, the department of defense in the Western case is all the information that was included. We are expected to make information. And because of the absence of information, a kind of sharing border into what we are being accused of the interpretive of the medical principle. I'm of the understanding that the Department of Health of the Western Cape was represented on the day. And they could have picked up on the questions that we were asking, but in fact, any information is needed. We don't want to be in corporate law, and so we've got any contribution to each and every citizen of this country. And our apologies to the family if you are coming across as things that are insensitive.
Thank you.
So, quickly, Mr. Chair, the Department of Health, Ethnic and Living was here on the agenda. And Dr. Carter is here again. I'm not quite sure that he's then be able if anything was any question was asked. But I just want to say to the HLP Chair that at times we must not say as honorable members we are prepared if we don't know what we are talking about. Even if a person is an HLP for crying out aloud, what happened in an emergency unit of a particular hospital can never be, and he or she can't stand up and say, I wish that I didn't call in charge in the area because I'm taking responsibility. Yes, at the final end, but that head of department or any. It is true. That is why we are a bit uncomfortable because the question is still in me. Why were those nursing managers not here? Because we thought that we would ask some questions. Obviously, we're not going to request a whole chain of nurses in ward. Like an HOD, a nursing manager in that unit, like you in Telegram. So I think the starting point was. I think the failure and the absence of the information is really a frustration. And you are going to feel frustrated, we are feeling frustrated, we are going to be accusing one another on letters that we think that what is in front of us is not enabling us to at least deliver it. Yes, thank you.
Colleagues, I'm not sure
Are we still have clarity, strictly clarity seeking questions? If not, we need to move forward. Can I give anyone who's can I be clarified here? I'm not certain whether I got the facts correctly. Honorable Rector. And
thank you very much, Chairperson. In the report here by Chief Karwa, there's no page except it's talking about Dr. T. F. Maui. Dr. T. F. Maui confirmed that Tara were assaulted. My question, in your investigation, did you talk to Dr. Malta and ask why he comes to this point saying that Tamara was assaulted, except that I think it's something that maybe we can. Except that you mentioned that Dr. Mawisa gets his doctorate from Transnet in 1996. Did you congratulate Dr. Mawisa? Even that to me is a question mark. That is what Dr. Mawisa gets his degree in Transnet according to this document. But did you congratulate
him? I apologize, my colleague, for interrupting. I just, the word assault is used. And we don't, the document doesn't speak that. Yes, the patient was injured, but assault speaks about malicious intent. So just so that we have clarity of language, I would appeal to you to say, if the patient can use language on that, thank you. The question again is, have you had a session with Dr. Mawasa support? Did you speak to her about it after you received it?
So, second question. The Mawasa is a private legal practitioner who was consulted by Ms. Fuzari to complete the Bay 88 forms. And we looked at the report, and the report indicated there was injury, contusions, and the report that was made there. So that report has been available, and if you look at Dr. Fuzari's report, you study them in detail, and also took that into consideration in the investigation.
And we discuss her report through our own investigation, so yes or no?
Think that we are going to make any determination with this memorandum of 3 pages. Is it what we are supposed to make a determination on? A memorandum of 3 pages, no date, nothing, just an information thing. I don't know. Something is wrong here. We came here to try to help and get to the bottom of what is an embarrassing situation.
The question, Doctor, is do you think the presentation you presented to us is sufficient to enable members to arrive at determination? Are you convinced it contain all the necessary information they would want to have before they arrive at determination?
Chief, as you're compiling the memorandum, how much detail do you put in front of the, I have a long attachment of all the sequence of events, and that's on the issue in the committee or the handshake that we brought to the office that the patient files. I took that out. So this is a high-level summary which I thought was sufficient to explain the proceedings and give an indication of where we should depart and what our position is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm a bit disappointed. We had a meeting with the department on the 18th, if I'm not mistaken. There were issues raised on that meeting. And today's meeting. But still, we still look for clarity. And in my case, we were supposed as a committee to come up with a determination on the matter.
The consent patient was in both hospitals last year and this year, and she passed on. No one knows the cause, even if there is as in the file. But as I'm sitting here, I would say maybe it happened that somebody said we need to silence this one. But what I want to say, Chair, is that we don't have sufficient information to deliberate on. So I would suggest, for progress sake, we tell the department to bring along the information that will make us come up with a fully informed determination. They must bring out the report that will enable us to come up with a proper conclusion to the matter.
Thank you very much. Honorable
Member. Just about it, you know, because if they are saying there were no records, whatever information that they're going to provide is going to be incomplete. They will trust it in a sense that the system. Because how do you conclude your report if you don't have records? You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I'm worried.
Okay. I think this clearly saying to you should not see the committee look like, you know, biased, not, you know, taking your submissions on board, because you left us with no information that will make us not arrive at the well-balanced, you know, thinking. You always had this thing when the police are less people. They will say, you are at liberty not to say anything if you come on. And even, you know, during the hearing of the case in court, the magistrate will say to you, if you so wish, you may, you know, be silent, you may not say anything. Once you decide not to say anything, you give, you know, the court, in this regard, you give the committee to use its own discretion to arrive at any form of determination without you, you know, benefiting out of it. This hearing, the intention of the hearing, is to arrive at a well-balanced, you know, determination, which covers everybody. There's no quota, there's no place, there's no individual in South Africa that we are not, you know, responsible for it. We are taking, we are listening, we are taking every submission and put them together and arrive at a final determination. When you are given an opportunity to provide us with information and you choose not to, you should be the one to be blamed, not us, because we are going to arrive at a particular decision based on the information in our disposal. We can't, you know, be able to speak to things that we are not given to. We will always be unable to know things that we were, you know, not able to be, you know, given that particular information. I'm putting this because I don't want us tomorrow to come and say, no, the community looks like it favors this one, it doesn't favor. We favor all of you. We love all of you. We wanted, you know, to arrive at a balanced, fair, you know, report that will reflect the true reflections of what happened. And then when you don't provide information, it is not the community that you need to bring it. It should be yourself. I'm sure, Honorable Member MC, you are.
Thank you, Chair. No, I wanted to check with the department whether I correct if I say the department is not denying itself that Tamara sustained those injuries when she was in Kaisa hospital. The only problem is that they don't know how she got them. Because here they even say they accept that the injuries may have well inflicted on Tamara while she was a patient at Kaisa Hospital. I'm asking that so that we know that from here the hospital accepted that responsibility of injuries. The only problem we will be going forward checking is how she sustained it.
get read what the paragraph is saying to us.
That is correct, but what I have respond to some issues that you have mentioned, if possible.
Okay.
So, so just to confirm, Chairperson, my understanding from the last meeting on the 13th of May was that there were two reports requested. The one was shipments of a bench that Dr. Kammer read from and was made available. The other report was Dr. Barron's reviews investigation, the independent investigation that was made available. Then, in the last week, we were asked to bring all the patient records of the MARA in the hospital. We brought them, which are credited, copies are being made, and we were also bringing along with us. Now to submit that beforehand. So that's the only information that we asked from us. What I hear from the committee members now is that you would like to have more information about the disciplinary processes. And that is what I hear, and that is what we committed to provide that to make that available. And I would just would like to indicate, the honourable member indicated we've got no records. What it just said is our records are incomplete as far as the issues are concerned, and that is something that we are dealing with personally and that we are making the correction. But the records are here. And they are kept, the doctor's names are there, the nurse's names are there, medication, observations, everything is in the records, so they are being available. I also wish to indicate, Chairperson, that there was a request for Dr. Carter to do an independent investigation with the party provided with all the information, all the cooperation to put him in a position to be able to come to a conclusion and so on. In conclusion, Chairperson, there was a prosecutor who also prosecuted this. There were independent lawyers. All of those who provided all the information to our available in terms of making sure the justice came can happen. Thank you.
Honorable
news. Because we are expecting, we are asking who are nurses were there, have names of those nurses. We were saying that, no, that and that and that. And now you tell us, what we are, that's why we asked, when you told us, how can you tell, why you don't know who are the nurses? You said that there are names of the nurses who are on duty. Yet, then that time, you said you don't know because there were a lot of nurses going in and out. Can you tell us who are the nurses who are on duty on the 12th? Can you tell us who are the sister and child? That was my first question. On the 13th, what is their report? No, you can ask it. They asked this question, but the first question, but they said there were lots of questions. This is coming to the car. We don't know the nurses. The group of nurses will come back with the information. Now the information is here.
Thank you. Are you going to cover in the one that you are suspecting going to provide us the information on Article 23?
That is correct, Chairperson. That is what we provide. I think there must be a misunderstanding in March. Then was the question that was asked, he said, who was responsible for the assault or at that night? What he said is that it happened, the injuries was with that was already a few days old. But we can provide all the information, every nurse has to do that, we will go forth in any case. We will contact and we will make it available.
What is in court for the follow up? We need information now. Who are those people? Because we invited those people to come and answer here and you give up the information that you don't know why and not here.
Thank you.
And then the second answer. You said the body was submitted to court. We need not in court here.
Well, what we are not going to do, we are not going to call you for another representation. Whatever information you are going to forward to respond to the outstanding questions for clarity, it is not suffice. It will then allow us as members to arrive at our own determination using our discretion where we don't get a particular response. Honorable Mukwege.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say on the 13th, NEM confirmed that she was requested to bring along the report, right, of what happened, right, ma'am? But according to what is presented to us here, it's just a summary of events. It's not a report. I think at your level, you will understand what report means. So I would suggest, Chairperson, it will be, I think we will do an injustice to both the department and the family if we say we are not going to call them. Let's give them a benefit of the doubt that they didn't, they thought what they brought forward to us is what we requested. In what we have been engaging with them, this is not what we, yes, you see, but it's like an essay to me, it's not a bond, it's like an essay written by a matric student seeking to get points for examination. So I'm requesting that the report we give the department a sufficient time, maybe a week or so, if you approve that, so that they bring along the necessary information that we will need, that will enable us to make sure that we come to the conclusion that will satisfy both the committee and the family, and also the department. Thank you, Chair.
I think you are right. That's what I'm saying, sir. To say, you are saying you are going to forward to us the outstanding information. And we would rely on that to be the last of everything that you have that we can take the decision out of that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I have, I think my understanding for our speaker is that what you're saying is that we don't need to rush this process. We need to have justice, but we need to make sure that the meticulous in that process. I think what you're saying is that the department should be afforded an opportunity to come out and present what is outstanding to us so that we can engage and ask questions and get more clarity. So I think if that's the indication, I completely support that. But maybe just the question I have, Honorable Chair, to you is, the HOD mentioned that Dr. Carter can give information and does a national investigation. That may actually give us additional information that will be important for us. So the question is, what is the outcome of that process? Is there some presentation available, and if not, when will that be available?
So, Chair, your question is at the national department. Have on the third time. We want to arrest the part of the provincial department.
Just a quick question. There were short meetings with Dr. Carter to make sure that we have a clear understanding of what the engineers are doing and we should have all the information. Just in terms of the honorable members, I just want to indicate that the two documents that were requested at the last meeting was Dr. Carter's report, and if I'm sure that the honorable members should see that that was sent through. Dr. Carter's report, that was sent through. And then the lack of the question that you say was an initiative from the department to provide certain oversight and an indication of what's written on the theory. There are certain aspects outstanding, and that is what we will find. Thank you.
Honorable member, I'm sure you are the last on this one, then we move to the next step of the hearing.
Thank you. Chair, you say that you discussed much, that discussed the school cases, but for us as honorable members to come to the correct decision on this case is quite difficult. You know why you're saying this? Remember, for us to have a correct comparison, we are supposed to be having the file of the patient. Because the file of the patient is the history of the patient. And there is nothing of the confidentiality for the patient also. Which then, we are not going to be able to get all the facts. Because whatever report they are going to give us, we are going to depend on the information that they are giving us. But for us to scrutinize the whole file, from where this patient started, whether it's highly sharp, remember right everything was. If the history of the patient from the day he or we was admitted and the nurse's history that was taken at that time, we're going to see on what exactly happened to this patient. We're going to follow up on everything of the patient. But now, because we can't access the patient type, I'm not sure how are we going to deal with it. Because we are only depending on the records that they give us. Thank you.
I think that would be
deliberated amongst ourselves during the time when we were dealing with that. Can I now? Yes.
Sorry, I'm sorry to delay you. The copies that the honourable member will receive is the patient's file that's been copied. And our request is because of confidentiality, the committee will seek a confidential. But the copies that you will receive is the patient's file.
Sir, thank you very much.
Sir, question for a quick point of order. What must come to the side of the not a folder?
Our default, because it is our internal administration that are supposed to provide us with the information. We just given the file. Then where are they? Why are we not getting it? I'm sure it should not be there to us. It is us, our own internal staff, that are letting us out. And that very little I can say about it. Can we then invite the national department to speak to this? Before that, can we have just 7 minutes of cut-up break and then come back after 7 minutes, please?
Good morning. It's Bianca Victoria calling. I see that I got a call from you guys. I'm feeling my sexuality. That's me. What time do you guys take today? Okay, I will try in this. Thanks a lot. Okay, bye. Stay the whole day. Alright, I'm going to one man out of the mob out of the department. It's long hair. She's like, oh, yeah.
If we were to move to us reconvening just to quickly finish the remaining part of the session, you would remember to remember that when the 13th, the Department of Health nationally informed us that they have just, you know, received the complaints and they were not in at the town to deal with the issues as they are. But I hope from the 13th to where we are, actually they should be better off. They will tell us something about this particular issue. And we are going to invite them to take over. Start by telling us just to remind us who you are and them to take over. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm Dr. Kevin Carter, and I'm the Deputy Director General at the National Department of Health, responsible for hospitals, tertiary services, as well as workforce planning and development. Then you might recall that in the first meeting that of the petitions committee, the department was represented by Ms. Tanya Rehu, who is also PDG at the National Department of Health, and the two of us together attended the last meeting, and the two of us have been given the responsibility by the department to investigate and report back to the committee. And we have been in consultation with Ms. Tanya. So, Chair, after the last meeting, as I indicated, we had late notice of the events. I looked at the photographs that were provided. Although I'm a medical doctor myself with quite a number of years of experience, I'm not an expert in these matters and therefore decided that we will get the opinion of an expert to give an opinion of what he believed the cause of these injuries were that were portrayed in the photographs. The photographs were then, and I tried to get the best possible copies of the photographs. The photographs were sent to Professor Fab Simon, who is a professor and head of Department of Forensic Medicine at the University of Victoria. Now, I've got a full report with me, which I will submit to you, Chair. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to read salient points from the report. Firstly, Professor Simon indicates, although the pictures are not of good quality and writing, he can make draw conclusion as to the most likely cause of the injuries. So in the view of Professor Simon, these injuries were caused by most likely, and I think one would need to use the word a shot with a stick or with a cane. And he gives an explanation as to why he believes the injuries were caused by a stick or a cane. And the report goes into detail as to why he comes to that conclusion. Then he said that the anatomic distribution, nature, overall configuration of the injuries certainly are highly suggestive, in other words, most likely inflicted by injuries of repetitive nature, in other words, continuous hitting, and are not consistent with accidental or incidental injuries. So it did not just happen. So it was deliberate. That is, in fact, the conclusion that he drew. So as far as, so that was the first report so far. And then also describes where the injuries most likely would have happened. And the most likely time that the injury would have happened would probably have been about the day before tomorrow was described. I then engaged with the staff. I went to the hospital, met with the operational manager, the head of the ward, as well as with the CEO. And I indicated to them, Chair, that I had sufficient information from an expert that these injuries were caused by an assault. So that's not helped them to try and cover up what happened. I need to know what the truth is, and I need to know what the facts are, and who saw what. After an intensive, I would call it interrogation of the nursing staff, none of them agreed to admit to anything. What I found strange, and I made a note of it, Chair, that they do not have any knowledge of anything. Which I can't say, I would be a hospital manager myself, that as many of the members have indicated, when you're caring for a patient, you would need to examine the patient, but over and above that, in terms of nursing care, patients who are in the hospital, particularly in the kind of condition that Tamara was in, they need to be dressed, they need to be bathed, they need to be fed. Somebody saw something. It's not possible. If you look at the injuries, it is not possible that nobody saw anything. It's in my view, I mean, let me put it this way, it's not possible that nobody saw anything. It's not possible that the first person who saw these injuries was the mother. That's not possible in my view. Somebody must have seen something the day before or shortly after. One of the questions that I asked Professor Simon was whether, and it's also the point is also made by the other medical examiner who saw the patient, that there might have been some bleeding, and Professor Simon indicates that there might have been some oozing of the wounds, although you could not conclusively determine whether there would have been bleeding. My intention was then to determine whether if these injuries were there, it's possible that on the bed clothes, or the night clothes rather, of the patient, somebody would have seen staining because of the nature of the injuries. But it was quite clear to me that in interrogating the hospital management, the matron of the hospital, the operational manager of the ward, and the nursing staff, nobody was going to talk because as far as they were concerned, nobody did anything and nobody saw anything. Now I said to them, they need to know that I don't believe what they are saying because the expert opinion as well as the very clear injuries that were sustained, and therefore there will be a need for further investigation to determine if you are not talking, let's find other ways of doing this investigation. So I did ask for all the names of the nursing staff who were on duty, and I was provided with that, and I was talking about all the nurses, the four shifts that Dr. Carlo was talking about. I asked for those names and I was given the names. I also asked for the name of all the patients who were in the ward. So I felt, Chair, if the nurses are not talking, maybe patients would talk. So I asked for the list of the patients and addresses of the patients who were in the ward, who might have been able to see something so that you can get information if the nurses are not talking. So I got that as well. I got the name of the patients who were in the ward, and I also have the addresses of those patients. I then spoke to Mrs. Fuzani to try and get, because I was told that although I had the name of all the nurses in the ward, Tamara was in the side ward where there were only two beds. So the only other person that would have been able to see something would have been the patient who was with Tamara on that particular day. But Mrs. Fuzani told me that she herself had also spoken to the patient who was in that ward, but that patient had said, normally when the nurses come in to work with Tamara, there's always a screen around Tamara, so that in fact the patient could not see anything. So there was not any value in talking to the patient because according to the information given by the patient to Mrs. Fuzani, she in fact did not see anything because there were curtains drawn around the patient. My thing was then shared that the best people who are placed to do these kind of investigations and interrogation is the police, because in my opinion there was an assault that happened. It was reported to the police, and there was an obligation on them to investigate. I was reported in the previous meeting that the case had been closed. So I went to the police station to look at the docket to find out whether in fact the case had been closed and whether there was in fact an opportunity, if the case had been closed, to reopen it or whatever the case might be. I was given that information that the case in fact was closed, but the case was reopened on the 15th of May according to the docket. I then asked to speak to the investigating officer, and I did get the name of the investigating officer. He was not available, they gave me his telephone number. I spoke to him, and I initiated him that I should speak to the senior prosecutor, which I also did. So the senior prosecutor is an advocate, Surika Milraj. So I spoke to her last Thursday or Friday, I can't remember which day, and indicated to her that my information is that the case was originally closed. They've reopened the case, there's new information, and I believe that on the basis of new information, we should proceed with the investigation. I then got an email, which I will also provide to you, Chair, on Friday from the advocate, the senior prosecutor, and the email is as follows. It says, I've spoken to the complainant telephonically, that's how Mrs. Fuzani, and she has clarified that the victim could not mention who had assaulted her. It was never established who assaulted the victim, and hence we have no subject that we charge. The state cannot prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. No criminal trial will be instituted. I have, however, escalated this matter to the Director of Public Prosecutors in the Western Cape, Advocate R. Devon. So from the information from the senior prosecutor, they don't believe that they have enough information to proceed with the investigation or with trial, but they have referred it to the Director of Public Prosecution in the Western Cape, Advocate R. Devon. So that is the sum of the information that we have, Chairperson. It was my view that we believe that the patient was assaulted in the hospital, most likely on the 12th of that particular month. We needed to find out who was responsible so that the appropriate steps could be taken, and we depended on the police to assist us with that investigation, and this is the report which I was given. So if there is any further information on this matter, Chair, I'm willing to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any clarification question, members? In a very big, fast way, we don't have time. We have been told we must battle the situation before the bomb came to be thrown in. Honorable Member. Am I right, Honorable Jumati? Thank you very much.
In view of what the doctor has said, what is on this report from the police, something is out of the wrong, and we can speak to the bottom of it. There is clear evidence, photographic evidence, forensic evidence that somebody was assaulted. The police say no, where there is no evidence.
I think when they are saying no evidence, they are talking about him carrying an individual. That's the thing. That's where they are saying we don't have to. They could see, they understand that somebody has, you know, creating an unusual way, but they don't know this that way.
Yeah. Evidence and witness are two different things. Evidence is there. It's evidence that you are scared. They wouldn't say, you, because they didn't see anybody stepping you, so you just hide and they don't know what. There's something very wrong with this issue about this. We must get to the bottom of this.
Okay, thanks. I didn't learn you to correct. No, thanks, and I agree with Honorable Marcel. The information from Advocate Corporate 7 is leading, because that means that if somebody killed and dead, you can't investigate, because that person cannot tell you who's dead, cannot tell you who killed him, and that you can't investigate. For that, the argument here, that they can't investigate further because the patient didn't indicate who assaulted her before she died, and therefore the results of that, therefore they can't proceed with investigation. I can't find logic to that. I couldn't find any logic to that. And the arrogance of this letter.
I think let's deal with this letter at our own time.
Yeah.
Well, when we deliver it, you know,
yeah.
I just want to agree that with the forensic expert. I mean, this thing been clearly she was speaking. If you can see the picture here, she's obvious. Someone was being detained. There's no doubt about it. Now it's confirmed by the experts. But in looking at it, then she was speaking. And I can't understand why management of the hospital could not be able to see.
I'm sure the presentation tells to be very perfect.
It looks like there's no clarity on the presentation of the department. Let's try to get it on the presentation. What about the chairperson?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to check with Dr. Carter if he did then communicate with him. With the Department of Health in the Western Cape, and what then was the response in terms of all the information and the processes.
Dr. Carter?
Chair, right from the start that indicated to the department that my own view as a non-expert was that this is most likely an assault, and when I did receive the formal report from the experts, I did convey that to the department. I'm aware that the department also got independent evidence which supported the evidence that
they're talking to one another.
So two experts agree on the findings.
I think I'm covered with it. Ask a question of the investigator ad hoc. Did they, when you speak to her, did you ask her, assume her to ever disconduct on the program in terms of what she saw? And that is, that I'm trying to get anything of evidence, no evidence. Did he or she interview or get information from Mamufuza?
Was there any contact with the Mamufuza in November, Dr. Shimon, Shimon?
Professor Simon, the investigation. I met with Mrs. Kuzana after the investigation. I also informed of the outcome of that investigation and the finding of Professor Simon. But in terms of the question, in terms of, I'm not sure the question was about Professor Simon. I did inform Mrs. Kuzana about the findings of Professor Simon.
No, it's about the investigator. What investigation? What steps did he take or she when you are trying to get evidence of this and submit it to court, to the prosecutor?
It is not yet to court, there were different apartments, yes.
So, I spoke to the senior prosecutor, because at the time, I wanted to see clarity as to whether this investigation was proceeding. And I indicated to the senior prosecutor that there's new evidence, which is the evidence from Professor Simon. Based on the new evidence, I was expecting them to proceed with the investigation.
Professor Simon only looked
at the photographs.
I think maybe the hospital is really bound to find the doctor who actually treated this lady or the deceased to revisit their opinion about what happened, because it's evident now that unless they were treating her with blindfolded, the must have seen, I don't think they only saw the scratch. So there's something wrong again. Whether actually the doctor's right,
I think that's a contribution in the education. Clarity from Dr. Hart. If it's not there, it's not a thing to say there's no law. One of the members. Thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick question. In regards to the center that came back from the NPA, from the African Corporate, Director of Public Prosecutions, it mentions on the page 2 that line of recourse through the minister and the national director. And just if there should be clarity in terms of what the national department interprets that to mean, does it mean that we as a committee need to approach the minister and get partnership from him? We just have some clarity on that paragraph, please.
I'm sorry, the question is in the wrong report. We are saying of the letter of the director of public prosecution. We will deliver it on you and write it what we want to do. So, because I'm not here, that because of the government. There's no any other of clarification question. Is there anyone that you remember we might have not, you know, put on the list of people who are supposed to speak to us? I thought we have concluded the entire team.
Thank you very much. I want you to appreciate the report that we were given by the national official that will give us more space for discussion.
Thank you very much. Kylie Charles, Pedro, the provincial department, the national department of health, Mapuzane, and then everybody that was, you know, here to assist us for a rather better decision on this particular matter.
thank you for coming, thank you for helping us well to have all the information that we are leaving before us. The committee will then join you with a portfolio committee that she has its own, you know, time and arrive at the determination. You will all be informed of the decision of the committee, because the decision of the committee is not going to be private secret thing. It will become a public, you know, information for all people of South Africa to know that these kind of things are said and how the parliament deal with them. And then I'm going to appeal to anyone who might still have, including Dr. Kata, any bit of information, second assistant secretary, and you collect the information that are in the hands of the Department of Health in order to prepare it and forward it to members, so that by the time we meet, we should be having all little bit of information in our disposal. The information will help us to say we apply our mind in a very fair, a balanced manner, without favor or prejudice. We are going to make sure that we deal with this matter in the best interest of the people of South Africa, and not any other person that would want to discriminate. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody, all my honorable members who've been part of this. We are just unfortunately that we are sitting under pressure. You can see the pre-pointing on me, I think, but the one that we can tell you that get out of it. I'm apologizing for any other thing that I might be omitting, not giving you an opportunity. So we will talk to you when we have decided on our meeting to arrive at determination. Thank you, and the meeting is adjourned. I'm sorry for that. Thank you.